Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
Happy Wednesday. The NCAA tournament is officially underway. The Magic are back from a 10-day, five-game tour of our country's great left coast. And how are you rewarded? Well, you get to finish up the back end of a back-to-back tonight as you host a Milwaukee Bucks team that also is getting good things from a former Magic player and Brandon Jennings. We'll talk about that coming up on the show. We got a jam-packed show for you here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. In about 15 seconds, we're going to toss with an interview that Dante recorded earlier today with the one, the only, D. Brown. In the second segment, we'll talk some college hoops, help you out with your brackets, as Casey Stern of Turner Networks join us. But first, unscripted, off the record, and behind the scenes. Listen to the latest Orlando Magic Pod Squad to hear Jeff Turner share stories from his time on the gold medal winning USA basketball team. Download it today on iTunes or the Google Play Store. All right, let's get to that interview.
This gentleman played 12 NBA seasons with Boston, Toronto, and Orlando, the final two in Orlando. Currently the general manager for the Agua Caliente Clippers, the G League affiliate for the LA Clippers. D. Brown, kind enough to spend a few minutes with us here today. D., how are you?
Good. What's going on, Dante? How you feeling?
I'm doing all right. We're finishing out a 10-day road trip here, so we're ready to get back home. I know you've experienced your fair share of those.
Yes, I have. And I got a chance to see you on the road trip, so it was good to see you in person and definitely the old guys from the Magic that I got a chance to spend time with.
Yeah, absolutely. Always great to catch up with you, D. You did a great job here in Orlando. And now you're the GM of the G League affiliate in Ontario, California. So you've done everything now. You've played, you've coached your front office. What do you enjoy
radio,
the most?
TV, everything.
That's right, TV. You've done absolutely everything. This is you're a jack of all trades, D.
Well, that's how you keep a job. You can do everything. And I learned that a long time ago as a player. If you can play defense, shoot the ball, make passes, you always stay on the court. So, you know, once I retired, you know, especially my last 2 years in Orlando, you know, I went directly to the front office and worked under John Gabriel for a couple of years and coached the WNBA team there, the Orlando Miracle, before they moved to Connecticut. You know, I've kind of experienced a little bit of everything. You know, I've been in this league, the NBA, or WNBA, or the G League for 27 years as a player, coach, or executive. And
how about that?
You know, I try to get as much experience as I can, this opportunity. By running my own G League team, it was a great opportunity that was given to me by the Clipper organization. Overseeing still with the Clippers, the big team, I'm still the director of player program, so I still oversee player development with our players on and off the court, and making sure that they're prepared to play games and getting better. But also life after basketball, similar to what I did, my first initial job with the Magic as director of player development. Under John Gabriel and Doc Rivers, really that position was just starting in the NBA. I was one of the first.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
To have that position in 2002. So, you know, I've been full circle, going from the front office, the coaching, television, media, back to the front office, and I enjoy this. I enjoy, you know, overseeing a team. You know, having a, you know, my staff, obviously, you know, doing things the exact same way as our team in LA. You know, we have a really good group of people there, and they've given me full autonomy to really just set the culture in Ontario with our G League team, the same as the team in LA.
I think about this. So you do your 4 years at Jacksonville, and then you get indoctrinated right away with Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, and Robert Parrish. Right. So
yeah,
you said it's a grown man's game. Well, what's the pressure like coming in, and what do you remember about playing with that trio for a number of years?
Well, it was unbelievable because I was a student at the game. So I remember the Celtics Laker games with Tommy Heinsohn on the CBS. And, you know, those are the two teams, you know, really, those are the two iconic teams. You know, Magic and Larry obviously put the NBA back on the map. So those are two guys that you idolize and watch sprinkle in, you know, some early, you know, Michael Jordan in the 80s and Isaiah Thomas in the 80s. But, you know, I got drafted right when, you know, Michael was really hitting his peak in the 90s.
Right.
You know, my rookie year was Michael's first championship. The Bad Boys were still the champions my rookie year.
That's
so going
right.
to Boston, I was still, the Boston Celtics were still an elite team. You know, we had three all-star players, obviously Hall of Famers playing with those three, and Reggie Lewis. Dennis Johnson had just retired. Playing in old Boston Garden. I was, you know, in awe because it was a dream come true to play for the best franchise in NBA history. But it was a blessing because I got a chance to play with three of the best teachers, mentors, people that taught me not just how to respect the game and play the game the right way, but how to be professional off the court, how to dress. You know, I was wearing suits my rookie year. Robin Parrish not let me come to a game in a sweatsuit as a rookie. He told me you had to wear a suit. You got to be professional. This is a job. Larry Bird taught me how to get there early and leave late. Kevin McHale taught me, hey, you got to enjoy the game. Have fun. Like, those three guys brought different perspectives to my growth. And I use that every time in the front office, when I was a coach. Just those three perspectives for those guys of how, and Red Auerbach, the matriarch, the patriarch of all this, guiding me of just knowing, how to just build a culture of winning and respect within an organization.
You know what's interesting, Dee, and I'll end with this, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this. I really appreciate the time. This is great, but we're losing that. We're losing the kind of that perspective. Wouldn't you agree? And guys that take that approach and, be professional, get there early, leave late. And not everybody. This is still a great league, but you would know more than I would. But those stories, that professionalism, we seem to be losing that. And how fortunate do you feel to have been able to experience that?
I thought that helped mold me as a young man. I mean, I got up there at 20, 21 years old. I was young. The first time I left Jacksonville was going to the Celtics.
How about that?
College
Oh, man. Wow.
First time I saw snow was in Boston,
Wow.
I used a bachelor as an ice scraper because I didn't know any different.
That's right.
I didn't know.
How about that?
But the league is so young. I mean, you can't ask 21 and 20-year-old kids to mentor and guide other 20-year-old kids. They're still learning themselves.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but those veteran guys are now becoming a premium. You see a lot of teams now are signing these veteran guys, the Vince Carters. That's why these guys are still around.
Vince
are still around. Manu Ginobili. Those guys are in their 40s because the mentoring part of playing in the 90s, there's something to say about that. Like, there's something to be said about guys that played in the 90s. I'm not that guy to get off my yard in the 90s or better era. I think every era is great.
Well, fantastic, Dee. I can't thank you enough. You've always been more than gracious with me, and I always enjoy our interactions. And thanks for taking time here today. And we'll all be watching. I know I will be for sure Saturday at 11 when Lexi takes the floor against Belmont. Yeah, good luck, Dee, okay?
Go Duke.
That's right. All right, you got it, Dee. Go Duke. That's right. Fantastic.
Always talk with former Magic Grange. Dante does a great job with that. Just a reminder, Magic and Bucks getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time tonight. You can catch it along the Magic Radio Network or on Fox Sports Florida, as Dante has you covered with a pregame show there. Just a reminder, have you seen our latest City Edition uniforms by Nike? The design featuring edges of light bordering our universe invites you to go farther, go higher, be limitless. Swing by the team shop at Amway Center Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. to get the jersey now. I'm always impressed with the people who write these. We're back on Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center with the one, the only, Casey Stern.
A lot of people talk about clarity, they talk about color, they talk about the size. The cut is the most important.
International Diamond Center owner Keith LeClaire talks about the most important of the four C's, the cut.
The way the diamond is cut is 60% of the value.
Keith says it's like comparing two men who weigh the same but don't look at all alike.
One may look like Tim Tebow and the other one looks like me. I highly recommend you stay with Tebow.
International Diamond Center.
Buy the one that looks like Tim Tebow.
Exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic.
Hey, welcome back. Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center rolls along on a Wednesday afternoon. Hope you have your brackets filled out. They're ready and you know what's going on because the NCAA tournament does start tomorrow. And I hope everyone is picking the Kansas Jayhawks. Sam Davis, our producer today, is saying the exact same thing. It's Final Four bust for those Jayhawks. We'll talk about that coming up here in about 15 seconds. Just a reminder, Magic and Bucks about an hour and a half away. If you have not seen this Magic team, where have you been? They're in the final moments of their season. Just 14 games remain, only 10 chances to see them at the AC. 7 o'clock tip time tonight. Well, it's a tie game and the clock is winding down. Want to know what happens next? Well, turn on the game. Actually, no. Get live play-by-play with the Orlando Magic mobile app even when you're on the go, so you don't miss a minute of the action. Download it for free today and enjoy the in-depth stats for the most die-hard Magic fans. All right, it is my pleasure to welcome in Turner Sports NCAA studio host. His name is Casey Stern. And Casey, first off, thank you for taking the time to join us. I know this is a crazy time for you, with spring training going on, March Madness. So I ask you, do you just have someone constantly bringing you coffee every single second of every single day?
You know, I probably should start doing that. I've been getting my own. I think it's the only cardio I get during all this craziness. But it's fun, man. It is. Doing this tournament is like a blur. Doing baseball 15 years and covering the NBA is no preparation for what it's been like last couple of years doing this run. The Thursday, Friday, the first couple of days, you think they're fun as a fan. And you get on that desk and you're just kind of reacting to all the craziness. It's a blast to be able to do.
I was going
to
say that that's why we get in this business and it's what makes it so much fun. But okay, let's start with last night. You know, the first four games tipped off. We had Radford topping LIU Brooklyn. We also had a great game between the Bonnies as well as UCLA. You were at the desk for those games. What is your initial perception of those first four games and what we have now with kind of these play-in games before we actually get to Thursday and Friday?
You know, I was skeptical, to be honest with you, about the play-in or the first four or however the first round, depending upon who you are and how you want to put it, when it first came out. But I'll say this, having done it for the last couple of years, we always see success. I mean, we showed this last night. We'll show it again tonight, I think, at some point during our doubleheader. We've seen teams go to the Sweet 16. Every year the first four has been in action. We've seen at least one team win a game in that technical second round, that second game after they win a game in the first four to advance. So, you know, it's not like these teams can't get it done. Now, clearly, I don't expect, despite how great the win was yesterday, Radford to go beat or even compete with Villanova. However, I do think St. Bonaventure's got a really good shot to beat Florida and knock them off in the first round or the second round, depending upon which way you look at it, coming up on Thursday. So, you know, I like it. I do. I think it's a cool way to start the tournament. I understand purists, you know, the field of 64, but I feel it's the same thing in baseball with the wild card. And regardless of whether or not you want to call it a play-in or a playoff game, you want to call this a play-in game or the beginning of the tournament, you know, we just want college basketball where it's for all the marbles, win or go home, and you get four games like that to start off the tournament.
Absolutely. You mentioned that wild card game, and I live this. I've been a part of it. I'm a Kansas City guy. So when the Royals played in that wild card game in 2014, that was the best baseball moment I've ever been a part of. You know, a franchise that had been through just years of frustration finally got their moment in extra innings. We could talk about that later. But this NCAA tournament, you're a guy that's covered World Series, All-Star Games, NBA. For me, there's nothing more pure than this tournament. There's nothing like fans filling arenas, wearing their school colors. For you covering this, how different is that from covering a World Series, something that is a lot of fun, but they're just completely different?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think there's anything like this. You know, we just came off back-to-back World Series that were fantastic, both of them. Chicago against Cleveland was great. You know, you had the rain situation you don't want to run into in Game 7. Then last year, I would argue Game 2 and Game 5. The only World Series game I've covered the last 15 years that was better than either of those two games was Game 6 in 2011 with the Cardinals and David Freese. So, you know, we've had excitement in a game. And the Super Bowl is the same way, and I've covered three of those, and those are, you know, fantastic because of all the hoopla surrounding it. But the tournament, there's nothing like it. You never know what's going to happen. Everybody loves the upsets. Everybody loves to, you know, follow underdogs. They think it's great seeing kind of, you know, around the country, the reaction from schools. And the best part for me is they're not pros. I mean, look, you know, people in baseball, regardless of this free agent offseason, making tons of money. People in football, even though all of it not guaranteed, making tons of money. And the NBA, which I cover, tons of money. Here, you know, you get guys, you had Joel Hernandez, an LIU player who was, a mid-major player of the year kind of a player all season, who was terrible last night. He doesn't get to make up for that because of his bank account or next season. He's done. So, you know, the idea that some of these kids won't play, this is their last hurrah, you know, seniors together. We saw Villanova and what they did during their runs with Jay Wright with all those players who played Arcipiano and Hart and all those guys who played together. So I just think it's a different element because they're not getting paid and because of some of the spirit, if you will, that leads to one shining moment versus what you get at the professional level.
Right now, talking with Casey Stern, who's Turner Sports host on their March Madness coverage. He was on last night's telecast. He'll be on there again tonight as his first four games continue. Okay, let's start diving into this bracket a little bit. My first question to you is, we know who the one seeds are. We know for the first time in a long time, this is about as open of a tournament as it can be. And it got a little bit more open with the news from Virginia the other day, as well as DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah, look, that's a big injury. They don't, you know, a lot of teams in college are not deep and they run small rotations, but this team plays like 7-8 guys total. So when you take a guy who is the sixth man of the year in the ACC, and I think their best pro prospect and best athlete on that team, and you take them away, yeah, you still got Kyle Guy, you have Jerome, you've got some shooters, you've got the defense. But I think, you know, it's not necessarily going to hurt them in the first game. But when you get into a situation where you're going to end up playing Arizona or Kentucky, I had Arizona knocking off Kentucky and Virginia anyway. But I think now it's going to be extraordinarily more difficult. You've got a lot of talent on both those teams with the Wildcats. I think it's going to be difficult, to be honest with you. Virginia plays in a type of style where they're kind of like an NFL team that uses a running game and methodically matriculates, if you will, down the field. What's the one thing you always worry about? What if they get down? If they get down now, especially without Hunter, a guy who can light it up and come off the bench and give you a spark, I think they're in some trouble. I really do. I don't think Virginia is going to get out of the second round of this tournament. I think they're going to lose to either the fourth or the fifth seed in that bracket.
I was going to say, because when you look at Kentucky as well as Arizona, Arizona's a team, especially with DeAndre Ayton, when you have a guy like that that can put a team on his back, they can make a run, can't they?
Yeah, I've got Arizona winning the whole thing. So now, look, I'm a little bit more bullish on them than most people are, but I'm where you are. I think if you got the best player in the country, and I think by far they got the best player in the country. You got the best player in the country, as long as you don't get cute and Sean Miller doesn't get in his own way, and they just give him the ball as much as humanly possible, and their guys make perimeter shots because he's going to get double teamed all the time, I think they're in good shape, really. I think they're going to put everybody else in foul trouble. Down the stretch, they were 22-4 to close the season. You know, they started like 0-3. So this is a team that has played really well. They were a preseason number one for a reason. And I think, you know, to me, at Michigan State, who I have in the final on the other side, is very much similar. I think it all depends. It's just like baseball or anything else. Who plays the best for 2 weeks? And if I'm looking at the team with the ability to go on a run, those are the two teams I like. I think Michigan State is the most talented team in the country, even though they've had some ups and downs and lost to Michigan, where I think they were tired mentally and physically in that Big Ten tournament. And Arizona, I know the Pac-12 is weak. I mean, look, only three teams in. Two of them are in our first four. UCLA went home yesterday. Arizona State plays tonight. I'm still a big fan of both of those teams. So I'm taking Arizona all the way to the finals to beat Michigan State.
That upsets me a little bit because I'm a Kansas guy. But, okay, going back on the other side of the bracket, you know, when I initially saw this come out, the game that I really want to see is a potential second-round matchup where we could see Oklahoma opposite of Duke. That has to excite people, right?
Yeah, I think anything about Trae Young excites you. I mean, as somebody who does the NBA draft for Turner also, I mean, I get excited because I want to see him in this mix. And for those who didn't see his reaction, he basically looked like he was paralyzed by the moment finding out he was in. They were really on the bubble. I could have made a case Oklahoma State, their rival, deserved to be in as many big wins during the year as they did. But Oklahoma gets in, and they've got the most exciting player in the country because you just never know what you're going to get. And I don't know if he's an NBA prospect with his size and what we saw happen to Isaiah Thomas this past year. I don't know whether or not he's going to be worth the lottery pick. He definitely will be. But when you play out-of-conference games, it's a big difference. And talking to a lot of the players I work with over the years with the tournament, because these guys, you can see on film, but they haven't seen you on the court. So for Trae Young to face a URI, he's got good guards and is a good team, or a Duke, and for them to not have dealt with what he's like, going coast to coast, getting to the rack, and he can get there anytime he wants and at least get to the line, he's going to be difficult to deal with, but I don't think they're going to get by Duke if they get past URI.
Casey, as an organization that's going to probably be picking in the lottery this year, probably towards the top, is there anyone else that Magic fans should have their eye on specifically during this tournament run?
Well, I think clearly Ayton is one. If I'm looking at your team, because they do a lot of the NBA, I mean, Colin Sexton has to be one. It depends how high you get in the draft. But, you know, clearly this team has had a point guard issue for I don't even know how long we need to go back.
It's been
back
a long time, Casey. It's been a long time.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go back to that work with Shaq. I don't want to go back to Penny Hardaway. But we're going back a long time. Colin Sexton's the best point guard in the draft. I mean, look, Young is the point guard, but I don't really know what he is. Sexton reminds me a lot of De'Aaron Fox, the way he gets up and down the court, compete level. I talked to Avery Johnson about him, who certainly was a successful point guard at the big level. He's a huge fan of the way that he's grown this year. Bama is a team you should watch in the first round. And if you get high up picks, I mean, look, the top picks in this draft are clearly without question going to be 8-1 and Bagley of Duke 2. I talked to a lot of people who are involved in this, and I don't talk to anybody who doesn't think that's in order exactly how it's going to go 1 and 2. After that, it's a crapshoot. Jaren Jackson at Michigan State is a guy to look at. I think, who could go pretty high in the draft. Wendell Carter, who's also at Duke, is a guy. And look at both of the Bridges kids. They're not related, but the one in Villanova, Mikkel, and the one in Michigan State, Miles, both will be lottery picks as well.
I'm really excited to see Michael Porter Jr. from Missouri, too. That pains me, being a Kansas guy, but it's something you got to watch. Hey, Casey, I know you got to get out. I know you got a crazy schedule. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today.
Anytime, man. And I will tell you, having done baseball 15 years, my favorite group I've ever covered, that core with Ned and Dayton over the last number of years with those Royals. So they gave you some good times. And I remember that game I covered against John Lester, down 7-3, stealing bases all over the place.
Thank you very much to Casey Stern for taking the time out of what is certainly a hectic schedule and taking some time to help us with our brackets to give you some insight on what's going on with the NCAA tournament. That does it for us here on Magic Draft Time, presented by International Diamond Center. Tomorrow, Sam and I are back. We're talking NCAA tournament. What upsets will occur? What's to come? Who knows? That does it for us here on MDT.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
Fill the Amway Center for Blackout Friday on March 16th when your Orlando Magic hosts the Boston Celtics.
Throws it back up top. That's Spades. That's three. That's good.
Wear black to support the Magic, who will be wearing their popular black jerseys. Plus, arrive early for our fan fest on Church Street to enjoy music and activities. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. Head to OrlandoMagic.com for tickets to see the Magic play the Celtics on Friday, March 16th. Big games are pure magic.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.